Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. This is your host, Martha Tyler. And this week, we are going to be talking about nannying with anxiety. And to do that, I have brought on Morgan Roloff. Hello, Morgan.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm really excited.
I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah.
I feel like every day this subject gets more and more needed because I just see so many nannies really, really, really struggling with their own mental health and juggling the families and the kids' mental mm-hmm. health. And it's rough right now. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, it's especially with COVID and everything. And now in Chicago, there's the snowpocalypse.
Right. Yes. And, you know, across the country too, it's been quite bad. So, well, great. Before we start talking about nannying with anxiety, let's hear your nanny journey.
Yeah. So, I'm the oldest out of all of my cousins and everything. So, you know, family gatherings, I was always like the automatic, okay, the grownups are having grownup time, go entertain your cousins. And then in high school, I started babysitting and everything. I had a couple, you know, families that weren't necessarily the best fit. And I had one that just wasn't a good situation. And then the summer before my senior year of high school, I nannied for two school-aged children. For the summer, and I fell in love with it. They taught me so much about just, you know, working with kids and everything. And then I kind of was like, okay, you know, this is an option, you know, going forward. And then I kind of was like in that mentality, okay, because I was originally going to go for musical theater.
Oh, nice. Before, I didn't know you were a fellow theater person. That's great.
Yeah. And then I kind of, as I went through my first semester of college, I kind of realized, you know, as much as I love theater and as much as, you know, it makes me happy, it's not going to get the bills paid. So I kind of started mm-hmm. shifting my focus more towards working with kids.
Yep.
And, you know, I had the first class, like I took child psychology, and I was like really into that. And then going forward, I switched my major to early childhood, and that's where I'm at now. Before I was before COVID and everything, I was with a family part-time with a four-year-old little boy, and then the mom was, you know, told to work from home when everything happened. So mm-hmm. they didn't need me anymore. So there was a period where I was like, what's going to happen? And then I actually found my current family through just an ad that I in like one of my local, you know, Chicago groups.
Right. Yep.
And so now I'm with like my first like full-time family, and I love it, because it's technically a nanny share, but it's not really, because like I'll have like the main little two-year-old girl that I watch, and then I have her cousins every once in a while.
Right.
And it's fun. They definitely keep me on my toes, especially now that we're starting potty training.
Oh gosh, yes. That is a whole new world.
Oh yeah. Especially because we're doing the potty box. Three stickers gets a treat from the potty box.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's intense. It sounds really nice that that there are some playmates built in with the cousins, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah. Especially now.
Yes. Yes.
And like I told the boys, the older boys, you know, first thing we're going to do is I'm taking them to the arcade once everything is safe.
So fun. Our plan is the aquarium. Because we got to go to the aquarium right before everything shut down, and then they've been asking, you know, when can we go back? So the aquarium is top of our list.
Yeah. But. Like the little kids, I'm thinking them to the pottery painting place.
The dreams we have.
I know.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's so fun to hear everyone's nanny journey. Yeah. Great. So let's talk about nannying with anxiety. I know that a lot of nannies are pretty empathic people, right? So we pick up on the emotions that are kind of flying around in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes we let those get stuck on us. And sometimes I think when we're in on the spectrum more towards better mental health, better self-care, all of that, we're able to, you know, be like, okay, that's not mine. What have you found to be useful in helping like differentiate what anxieties and you know, feelings are yours versus what's not yours?
I kind of like to look at things as, okay, you know, this situation, I may be a part of this situation, but, you know, especially with a certain situation with my nanny family, I know that, yes, I have feelings about it, but they're not my feelings. And I really kind of pick up on like my one mom boss's feelings, and like I notice things and I kind of get like stuck on it, and like I worry a lot about the kids because of it. And I kind of tell myself, okay, you know, it's okay to feel that, but at the same time, you know, it's also almost like having to separate yourself from that.
Right.
Yeah,
I find the same thing of like, I find when I when I'm first like trying to dig through some things, I validate any emotion that comes up, right?
So yeah,
anything that comes up, like I'm feeling really worried that girl three, you know, hasn't been eating as much lately. Like, what does that mean? Yeah. I'm feeling worried about it, et cetera, et cetera. That's not true, but I'm just making up a situation. And so then, you know, like I dig through, and I certainly know if in that situation, I certainly know the parents' feelings about it. I'm sure that they would be very worried, and my feelings about it. And And so I try to like separate out what is their worry, and then also go to my expertise of like, I know sometimes kids just don't eat as much, and like, you know, has it been going on for a week? That might be normal, but maybe if it's been going on for a month, less normal, things like that. So just like separating out, like looking at it, I start from a place of validating any feeling that comes up, and then I try to apply logic to them, you know, and not telling myself they're wrong, that any feeling is wrong, but just saying like, is there anything I can do about this? If not, then I might just have to let that feeling go.
Yeah. And I kind of think it's something that like I'll tell like the older boys, you know, is this something you can control, you know, or is this something that, you know, might be more of a grown-up situation?
Right. Right. And I think we can ask ourselves that too, of like, is this something I can control, or is like, even if I came up with a really good idea about this, they're not my children. So will my nanny family be open to my ideas? Will, you know, things like that, of like, is it something I can control, or is this something that they're going to have to work out and I just will help in whatever way I can?
Yeah. And I kind of saw that, in the past couple of weeks, the 2-year-old little girl that I take care of, she's been busting into her mom's office a lot. And I've kind of noticed it's a lot of the time, you know, like my mom also come downstairs to grab a snack or whatever. And then, you know, to be able to see mommy and be like, I love mommy.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I kind of have to tell her, you know, and Daniel Tiger, there's the Grown Ups Come Back song.
Yes, we sing that all the time.
And you know, I made like a little stop sign where, or stoplight, where it's like, you know, I'll ask her, you know, what color is it on, and she'll be like, she'll tell me, and then like with yellow she means she knows, okay, we gotta knock. And like I kind of like got that from those feelings, and like I almost feel like sometimes the anxiety brings out better ideas of like how to fix things.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I also, you know, just biologically speaking, our anxiety is there to protect us, right? Like our ancient ancestors, we are around because they were anxious about things and didn't go see what was making the noise in the woods, and, you know, didn't get eaten by the lion. So, so anxiety is helpful. And so a lot of times when I'm feeling really, really, really anxious, I like will write a letter to myself, a thank you letter. That's like, hey, thank you for really trying to protect me right now. And then, you know, I might say like, sometimes it's a little much and I'm not able to do my other tasks because you're trying so hard to protect me. But I try to be as gentle with myself when I'm feeling really wound up as I am with my nanny kids.
Yeah. And like, something that I've, especially taught like the girls is, like breathing. The 3-year-old, the 3-year-old, the one cousin, she really struggles with separation anxiety. So I kind of taught her, I taught her the star breath, where you, every time you go up, you inhale, you hold it for a second, you go down. And that's really helpful, not only for her, but it's a second for me to breathe and kind of strategize, oh, how can I help her? How can I calm her down?
Right. Yes. Because a lot of times those moments of the child being overwhelmed contribute to our overwhelm too, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So if we can find, yeah, that literal breathing room to help self-regulate ourselves, and then we can help regulate the emotions of our little ones.
Yeah.
I have found a lot of success with calm down boxes for my little ones. And sometimes, like, honestly, sometimes at nap time, I use the calm down box too. I wouldn't mess with it when they're awake because it's theirs.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so in the calm down box, I try to get all five senses, but taste is really hard. Because you want it accessible at all times. So I have an empty bottle of vanilla extract with a cotton ball in there that had, you know, a couple of drops left. So the cotton ball has it now. I have a shaker that I made out of a toilet paper roll and rice and some aluminum foil in there. I have a little stuffed animal for each girl. I have a picture of their family is in there. And like, then when they are feeling overwhelmed, you know, I sit with them and we breathe together. And then I say, you know, how would you like to calm down? Would you like to go get your calm down box? Would you like to find a cool down spot? Do you want me to come with you? Which, know your kids, because sometimes asking a bunch of questions like that can overwhelm them more. But a lot of the times they're now in the routine of like, I'm going to go get my calm down box. And then they either, you know, take it and find their own spot. And I check in with them and say, do you want me to sit with you? And most of the time they're like, no, I got my calm down box. I'm good.
Yeah.
So, and that gives me a chance then, because they are taking care of themselves, that then I can calm down myself.
Yeah. And kind of like jumping off of that, the 2-year-old is obsessed with Play-Doh and clay and drawing, and she's very artsy, and, you know, her dad's an artist. So I think it's kind of that sort of familiar thing. So like after a big blow up, I tell her, do you want to draw out, you know, do you want to draw to help you feel calm, or how can I help you feel calm? And sometimes it'll be, I recently showed both the girls the scene in Dinosaurs, the not the mama scene. And sometimes it's not the mama. Or other times, you know, she'll ask Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like kind of giving them that autonomy to choose an activity to calm themselves. And sometimes like, even messing around with the clay helps me calm down.
Yes. Yes. Bringing you back into your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really wonderful. Of like, I love the, do you want to draw, about how you're feeling? That's really wonderful. And keeping in mind that it's going to give them the skills in the future, they're building healthy coping mechanisms now.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I need to breathe, or I need to draw, or, you know, once they can write, I need to write about this, or I need to go find a space where I can sit with my feelings and work through them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, so a part of anxiety is, or can be, intrusive thoughts, right? Of these, like, these thoughts that are like, you know, you're cutting, an apple for lunch, and you just, in your brain, you see yourself accidentally cutting your finger. And it happens like over and over and over. Do you have any advice for that?
I actually get that a lot, like if I don't get something done.
Yeah.
And something that really helps me is like obviously that break during nap time, if nap time is a thing, is a godsend. But a lot of the time, you know, say I'm making lunch, I kind of try and challenge those thoughts. And a lot of that is, you know, looking in yourself and like, how can I say, oh, you know, is this really something that I'm overthinking about, or, you know, where is this coming from, and how can I, you know, disprove this? And I feel like, you know, because I'm not ashamed to say that I'm in therapy because of it.
Yeah, I'm in therapy as well. High five for therapy club. And listeners, if you are not in therapy and you are struggling, it makes such a big difference. Honestly, even if you're not struggling, therapy's great. Just having an objective person to hear you and like validate you, well worth the price of admission to me.
But like, one of the things that I found helpful through my therapist is taking a second and looking at the thought of like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. Because I kind of learned that oftentimes those thoughts may stem from like a wound from our inner child.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have found in my work as a nanny that because we are working with children, and usually small children, that treads on that inner child. Like you will trip all the trip wires.
Oh yeah.
That you haven't explored with your inner child often, because you watch kids going through what you went through, and maybe you don't remember exactly what happened from your childhood. But when you watch those emotions happening in real time, then the feeling of what that felt like comes back very strongly.
Yeah. And like, especially, you know, I'm a child of divorce. My parents split up when I was in middle school. And a lot of those, you know, insecurities and things, and a lot of that overthinking comes from that, and comes from those experiences of, you know, not really being seen, not really being heard, and those feelings. And like, you know, I tell, you know, the girls when they're like big sad, you know, I hear you. I hear that you're frustrated. I hear that you're upset. And like, I know that in a way I'm almost talking to myself as a child.
Yes.
While I'm trying to calm them down.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm so glad that you said that, because I feel the same way of like, I'm both, you know, I think there's a saying that's like, healer, heal thyself, of like, a lot of times, you know, in helping other people, especially children, work through things, we're also healing ourselves.
Yeah. And like, I've noticed that with like the older kids, because they're really struggling with a certain situation, of just taking the time to be with them and be in the moment. And like the other day, you know, the 6-year-old was really struggling with something. And so I sat him down and I'm like, hey, do you want to play a game from when I was a kid? So we sat down and I coached him through the stair level of Crash Bandicoot. And like that moment of like, not only helping him get his frustrations out, but like that bonding moment, it was really special. It's like, hey, you know, I hear you. I see you. I feel that you're frustrated. Here's something that helped me get my frustrations out when I was experiencing this.
Yeah. And that's huge. And that moment that you took with him also will pay off, you know, into the future of now he knows that you are safe to come to with things before they get to the point where he's completely overwhelmed by them.
Yeah.
And so you can, you know, help him work through it earlier, which is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have found that that whenever I am struggling with anxiety, that one of the best things to do is in my rest time, journal about it, you know, work through it, things like that. And yeah, it can happen. Sometimes I'll journal during nap time. Sometimes I'll, or quiet time, which we have an episode a ways back about quiet time. If naps are no longer a thing and how important it is to still have quiet time for everyone. And so if you are in a house that no longer has naps and doesn't have a break in the day, I encourage you to listen to that episode and maybe encourage your nanny parents to listen to it as well.
Yeah.
It's important for their brain developments, even when they're older.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I also, I'm curious about, so I have also found that certain parenting styles trip those inner child wounds as well.
Yeah.
So have you had experience with that of like watching a parent interact, or just even the way that, you know, a boss speaks to you, riling up anxieties within you?
Yeah. I actually have a lot, a hard time approaching my mom boss just because, we're very, you know, she's very businesslike and, you know, things like that. And where like, it's so easy for me to go to my dad boss because, you know, he's an artist. He's very laid back. And like, I've noticed because I do work in a Montessori household, you know, a lot of the times, you know, I'll be very, you know, into something and like showing an activity or something. And then, you know, the boys start arguing and, you know, how 6 and 7 and 8 year old boys argue. It often ends up with throwing things.
Physical. They're very, very physical.
And it's almost like, okay, so I, you know, I'll tell, you know, the little girls, hey, I gotta go help the boys. I'll be right back. And then I'll tell the boys, you know, first of all, what's going on here? And then I'll, you know, I'll hear their stories and then I tell them, you know, okay, someone on this set of stairs, someone on the other set of stairs, someone in the bathroom, calm down, and we're going to reconvene in 5 minutes. And I've really noticed that help, like really helping the boys, but like sometimes it gets on, it gets to me like yelling. Because that was a big thing, like yelling, and it really gets to me because yelling never helps. And I always try to separate myself when, you know, my bosses are dealing with their kids, but I always try and, you know, after the situation, kind of strategize with them. Okay, so this happened. How can we take this situation in the future and make it so we don't argue or we don't get to the point of screaming? And you know, because I really wish I had something like that as a kid. You know, especially, you know, I don't have the best relationship with my dad,
right?
And it's a lot to do with the way he approached certain situations. So I almost try and give the kids a like a reflection time afterwards.
That's really, really important. And I'm really glad you brought it up because a lot of times, you know, we want to, I think especially right now when parents are work from home, it's like, oh, we have to get them quiet as quickly as possible, right? Like it's triage. It's like, you can't, you cannot be yelling right now. And so a lot of, you know, the things that, at least for me, that I would normally do of the steps, like sometimes when parents didn't used to be at home, there would be times that I would be like, all right, like, let's lean into this. Like, let's be angry. Let's stomp it out. Like, let's see how much noise we can make, things like that. But those options are not available to me anymore. And I've replaced some of them with quieter options of like, let's go hit the pillow. Like, I can see how angry you are. Like, let's get some of that energy out. Or I'll, a lot of times I'll be like, how, like, make your face so angry. Like, oh, I see you're angry. Like, can you make it even angrier? And a lot of times that ends up, because I'll do it with them, that ends up in laughter, right? Of like, of like, we're just then making silly faces. So there are quiet options, but a lot of times, like, our instinct is get them as quiet as we can as quickly as possible. And so I think that then on the back end, we have to do more work, right? Of now they're quiet, they've calmed down. We've had that, that time in or constructive time out of like, everyone take a breathing break. It's not like go to your room, be by yourself, you're punished. It's like, okay, everyone needs to calm down. So however you do that in your house, whether it's a calm down spot or a, like you said, like one kid here, one kid here, one kid here, we're all just going to take a couple minutes and then we'll come back and talk about it. But then once everyone's calmed down, talking about, what happened? And I think in those moments, like just working from a place of curiosity is so important. Like asking like, what, you know, what happened? Like, what were you trying to do? I ask my nanny kids that a lot. Of like, what, you know, what was your goal? What were you trying to do? Because, you know, I saw you stacking books on top of a pillow and it didn't work out well, but like, you know, what did you want? What were you trying to do? So, Those are some techniques I've used.
And I kind of think that, you know, asking the kids, you know, how does that make you feel when your brother does this? Or, you know, with the girls, they're working on sharing.
Right.
You know,
as all toddlers are. Very developmentally appropriate, yes.
You know, asking them, you know, how does it make you feel when, you know, your cousin, you know, tries to take your baby's bottle because they're obsessed with babies.
Right.
Everything's a baby at the moment.
Yes. Yes. That's a big phase. I'm also curious about like,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If it's not from the children getting overwhelmed, but like let's say you get a text in the middle of the day that, you know, your own private life, but it overwhelms you. How can you continue? I mean, it's an almost impossible task, but like,
yeah,
how can you continue to provide the best care mm-hmm. while also, you know, being overwhelmed with your own emotions about your own stuff?
Yeah. I kind of think that like a lot of, like when situations arise where, you know, conflict with family or, you know, I'm in school and, you know, things happen with assignments and stuff. I kind of think that, you know, sitting in the moment with the kids really helps, mm-hmm. You know, just because kids say some off the wall things that make you laugh.
Right.
There's, you know, there's a leak in the doorway where I work. And the one day I was like, kind of like worrying over something. And then all of a sudden the 2-year-old looks at me and she's like, "Nay, nay, it's raining in the house."
Oh gosh. That'll snap you out of it.
Yeah. And I'm just like, yes, I know. I hear the dripping.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I agree and that yeah. like telling them like, you know what? Like I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now
mm-hmm.
can be really helpful. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
The toddlers are the sweetest. Mm-hmm. And like, I was kind of freaking out, you know, because I had found out about something in my family and, you know, I was kind of off thinking about that and really worried about that. And then the 2-year-old comes up to me and she's like, "Nene's sad."
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, she kind of knew something was up and getting mm-hmm. those, you know, extra cuddles.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she'll be like, because it's so funny. She is really, really into Daniel Tiger.
Uh-huh.
So and whenever she sees someone upset or hurt, she'll sing the "When you get so mad, you want to roar."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it's so funny because it's in the most random situations. and she'll do it like even like with her animals because her imagination is starting to really take off.
Uh-huh.
Like, so it's really funny. And like those little moments with the kids really help.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think that really choosing or prioritizing connecting with the kids, I often mm-hmm. will, if I am feeling overwhelmed at work, lately, if we can, you know, there's been a lot of snow and a lot of mm-hmm. Ice on the sidewalks and stuff. But
yeah.
If it's at all an option, I say, you know, let's go for a walk. Let's walk around mm-hmm. the block, see what we can see, things like mm-hmm. that. Because sometimes just a change of scenery helps.
Yeah.
Trick your brain into being more present or being, you know, helps it calm down.
Mm-hmm. And it's,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. Like, she hates the little 2-year-old that I take care of. She hates the snow. She'll be like, she loves the idea of the snow. And like, she likes to pretend Elsa came.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Things like that. And like, but like when we get outside, she falls and it's done and over with. So yep. I tell her, do you, you know, cause they're, cause her cousins live, you know, basically a couple of houses down. So like, do you want to go see if we can wave to your cousins through the window?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I go see my boys.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah. And it's always, you know, after tears, And like, even just those little moments of like watching her notice, you know, puppy prints or seeing an airplane.
Uh-huh.
And it's like really finding, you know, those moments with them and seeing like their genuine joy. Really, it's really helpful.
It is. Yeah. And like, I have found that when we go on those walks, sometimes we'll like have a goal. So we'll have like, we'll be like, we want to find all the colors, you know, I mean, all the ones that we know the names of. So the rainbow colors. we want, or, you know, back when it was around the holidays or Halloween or things like that, we would go on hunts to find decorations. And we, you know, I made like a sticker scavenger sheet that they could, you know, check off what we saw and things like that. And so, or we'll be like, we want to see how many dogs we can see on this walk, because they live in a neighborhood with tons of people that walk their dogs.
Yeah.
And so having that goal both keeps them like willing to walk for longer a lot of the times, even once they fall down, because they're like, well, but we haven't gotten all the colors, so we can't go back. Or it also helps me really, really keep my mind present on the walk, because I'm like, my brain has a goal too. So in the same way that it gives the kids something to do, it also kind of gives my brain something to do instead of just ruminate over something I can't do anything about right then anyway. And a lot of times on those days where you get certain news that really takes you out of your day, it really is just a like finding things to get from moment to moment until you can get home and do the self-care you need. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So I just, you know, it's not easy. And depending on, you know, what it is, you might share it with your nanny parents of being like, hey, like, I just got this news. I'm just letting you know, like, I'm here for the rest of the day, but I'm just letting you know that like this just happened, and I appreciate your grace around that, or you know, I appreciate your forgiveness that the house might not be as nice when I leave today, or whatever.
Yeah. And like, I've actually grown really close to, you know, the kid's grandma, and like, even like talking out with her, like when she's over, really helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, just having another adult to talk to.
Right. Yeah. It makes such a huge difference, because our jobs can be isolating, you know, like, when you do go to kids, they're so lovely, and they show you empathy, and they give you cuddles and things. But sometimes you're like, I just need to tell another adult that my mom fell and got hurt, and I'm really, really worried about it. And like, I need another adult to validate me too. So I think depending on your relationship with your nanny parents, I would hope that every listener has a good enough relationship with their nanny parents that they could share something like that. But I know that's probably not true, but I do wish that for everyone, because otherwise your job is really, really hard if you don't have a relationship with your nanny parents.
Yeah. I found a lot of the time I get very anxious about sending important texts. And one of the big things that I realize is, okay, you know, I'm going to send this text. It may not, you know, go as planned, but as long as it's being sent, you know, or Like, I had to send an email to the six-year-old's teacher because his iPad kept dying the other day. And that was just like, okay, you know what? I'm just get this done. I'm going to tell him, you know, because we were using other kids' iPads and, you know, trying to figure everything out so we can get to class, because kindergarten on Zoom is interesting.
Yep. For sure.
You know, just like sending those important, you know, documentations and everything, really, it's kind of nerve-wracking, but at the same time, it's like an absolute relief when you get it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like almost taking a second to say, okay, you know, this is how I said it. You know, is it, you know, telling the truth, like being truthful and, you know, of the, you know, best wording and kindest wording that I can word it. And then I just, you know, I'm going to send it, you know, yeah. And then I'll wait for the response and then go from there.
Yep. I have found that also having a couple trusted friends, mm-hmm. that especially nanny friends, mm-hmm. that sometimes I'll send the text to first and be like, hey, mm-hmm. like, what notes do you have about this? Or,
yeah,
you know, is there a better way that I could send this, or does this look okay, mm-hmm. or whatever? What I do want to discourage people from doing is asking a fellow nanny friend to write the text for you. So you, yeah. do the work first, because I know that that does happen sometimes, unless you are paying them to be your nanny coach. And that's right. like the thing you've worked out. But mm-hmm. if it's a friend, you do the labor first and then ask for their feedback. Just,
yeah.
of like, don't be like, hey, this is the problem I'm having. What should I say? That's not mm-hmm.
cool. Yeah.
But yeah. And I also think that, yeah, like with communication with nanny families, we have a lot of times that we have to communicate things that are hard. Mm-hmm. we are, you know, in their homes, very close. mm-hmm. And especially now with parents working from home, like everyone's on top of everyone. So I do have an episode called Difficult Conversations with Parents, mm-hmm. That people can go listen to if that's something that you're facing. And or I believe it's called Power Struggles with Parents. I'll try to find those and link them mm-hmm. down in the show notes. But yeah, that is like, that's a major source of anxiety, is how to effectively communicate with parents, mm-hmm. because we are experts in a lot of ways, but it's also mm-hmm. their children. So they get the final decision.
Yeah. And like, I've noticed like a lot of the times when you go to parents, they're very open to ideas. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they'll give you like, oh, you know, adding to that, you know, and like having that open communication really kind of helps, especially when you're looking at, you know, potty training, right. or, you know, Zoom kindergarten.
Right.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. And another previous episode that's helpful here is the nonviolent communication episode of yeah. like going to them with like, this is how I feel when this happens. Mm-hmm. I'd like, you know, I'd like to request that we do it this way. What are your thoughts? Or just like approaching it from the mindset of, we are a team. Here's the problem mm-hmm. that our team is facing. How do we solve it?
Yeah.
Can be really, and, really helpful.
Yeah. And then sometimes I feel like sometimes when you're having the anxiety over something outside of work, or, you know, say it is work-related, there may be times where, you know, you completely fully intend to do get some, you know, depending on your household duties, you know, getting some laundry done or getting, you know, the vacuuming done. And I kind of find that in those situations where, you know, those, you know, anxieties take over, you know, giving yourself a timer or giving yourself a reminder on, you know, Alexa to say, hey, remind me to do this. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it'll, you know, completely slip to my mind. And then I'll get that. And then I'll feel guilty about, oh, I said I was going to do this, but I didn't.
Right. Right. Yes. I also find lists are really helpful. And that is, mm-hmm. I mean, my mom bosses both also really like lists, but are mm-hmm. my nanny kids really love a good list. Yeah. And even, you know, they can't read it yet, but they love, mm-hmm. they love when you write things down that they say. So yeah. I do that frequently. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then it feels very official to them, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, creating a list for myself. And I, you know, my nanny family has like post-it notes out mm-hmm. and available, but if your nanny family doesn't, you know, potentially asking like, could we get some post-it mm-hmm. notes or like some scrap paper that I can write down a list? 'Cause you can do it on your phone, but mm-hmm. I find that when my phone comes out, it's just like game over. Sometimes the kids yeah. are so distracted by the fact that my phone is out, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I like to physically write it on paper, but yeah, yeah. keeping a list, setting a timer, things like that are really good when you know mm-hmm. that your brain is feeling fractured and, you know, you're not as present as you
yeah.
be that day. Mm-hmm. And can also just help with anxiety, because then you don't have to hold all of that, you know, you don't have to like Arya Stark continually go over yeah. the list in your brain. Oh, yeah. You can just like refer back to the list.
Mm-hmm. And like, I find like when the phone comes out, it's always Baby Shark.
Mine lately has been Daniel Tiger. And then they want to look at the picture, mm-hmm. you know, which is fine. Cause I just played yeah. on Spotify, but like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, how long are we going to just sit here looking at this picture? Cool. It doesn't yeah. move. It doesn't do anything, but
yeah.
Okay. Should print them out a picture of Daniel Tiger.
Yeah. Old. Yeah. I got the 2-year-old Daniel Tiger jammies for her Valentine's Day treat.
Love that. Love that. One of my nanny kids got a Daniel Tiger sweater for Christmas and she loves it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. And honestly, like, if you are really, really struggling, one, go listen to the Struggle Care episode. But two, mm-hmm. if you are really like, if there is something ongoing in your life that is making your job a struggle right now, like, I don't know, maybe a worldwide pandemic or mm-hmm. something like that. No, but I mean, like, if even, you know, if there's something extra that's really making work a struggle right now, I would say, one, look into therapy. A lot of times, because so much is telehealth right now, insurance covers it in a way that they might not cover in-person visits. So consider that, because having your own therapist can make a world of difference. But then in your everyday, honestly, like, use some of the things that we use with kids. Validate your mm-hmm. feelings. Like, use some of those Daniel Tiger songs. Like, it's okay to feel yeah. sad sometimes. Little by little, yep. it will get better.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, when you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to four.
Count to four.
I honestly say those types of things in my own brain of like, mm-hmm. wow, I'm feeling angry. Like, I need to self-regulate. I need to take deep breaths. Sometimes I say I'm going to go to the bathroom in those moments. Mm-hmm. And it's just to give myself time to breathe. Sometimes I'm yeah. honest with the kids and say, you know mm-hmm. what? I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I'm going to go sit on the couch for 2 minutes and then I'll be ready to play again.
Yeah.
Things like that. But just ignoring it is never going to work.
Yeah. Cause then it snowballs and
it gets out of control, and your nanny kids can sense that it's happening, but they don't know what it is. And that's really, really scary for them.
Yeah.
So even if it's just, you know, even if you just keep their needs at the forefront, like take care of it for your nanny kids. Sometimes I know I can do more if I think about it, doing it on behalf of other people, which is a somewhat sad hack that I know that I have, but it's true. I know that about myself.
Yeah. And like, sometimes even like I'll carry a little roll-on bottle of like lavender.
Oh yeah.
And it really definitely helps. And like, the one that I have now is like lavender and peppermint. And I think chamomile, and it definitely helps like in the moment of like just having that to focus on. And then obviously, you know, the kids will be like, I want some.
Right. Right. Yeah. I have sanitizer from Trader Joe's that smells like grapefruit, which I know is not everyone's like thing, so if it's not yours, whatever, but that sometimes just spraying that and then like smelling it on my hands helps bring me back into my body. If you can do anything that like touches on your senses, I with kids and with myself do 5-4-3-2-1 grounding exercise all the time of like name 5 things you can see, name 4 things you can feel, name 3 things you can hear, name 2 things you can smell, name 1 thing you can taste, and just like, and deep breathing through all of that. And by the time I get to the end, my heart rate's usually back down. My face is less flushed. That's the other thing is I think writing down your physical signs of being overwhelmed. So for me, I feel my heart speed up. I feel my face getting flushed. That's huge for me. And, you know, sometimes like I might feel tears starting in my eyes, but like knowing what your, some people grip, you know, in their bottoms, like they grip their butts really tight or their chest feels like it's clamping up. Whatever your signs that you are overwhelmed are, it's good to like recognize them, maybe make a list of them so that you can know, oh, my body's trying to protect me right now. I'm feeling overwhelmed. When I feel this way, these are the things I can do.
And like I've
all that before you are overwhelmed. Cause if you try to do all that work in the moment, it's too much. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that a lot of time writing down like the buildup to that, like, you know, okay, this situation happened this morning and I started thinking about it and overthinking about it at this time in this moment. And like writing out, you know, and possibly like looking over what triggered those thoughts really help.
I think, the writing out whatever journey, you know, and if you are an artistic person, drawing it out with arrows and things, you know, like making a flow chart of what happened can be really helpful, or just writing it is also great. That's what I do because I am not blessed artistically in that way. I can draw a really great cupcake and that is about it. But yeah, I agree. Writing out the journey and taking the time to learn from when you did feel overwhelmed and you didn't know what to do. To learn and grow from that is really, really important. Well, Morgan, I know that we could talk about this. I mean, you know, yeah. There are books and books and books.
Yeah.
About it. Is there anything else for today that you think listeners really should know or think about?
I really think that, you know, taking it, because job creep is a real thing. Mm-hmm. It's very much real.
Yes.
You know, you'll get shared album notifications, a really cute picture of the kids, or, you know, text of, you know, them saying really, really silly things. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe even turning, you know, muting those discussions during the weekend, mm-hmm. or, you know, kind of focusing on self-care over the weekend is really important. And like focusing on things that really make you happy and really make you tick. You know, I love to write, you know, that's my big thing other than theater is yeah. writing. And like taking that time, you know, to not only get any other obligations such as school done, but, you know, getting those things that like really make you tick. And, you know, spending time in that moment and giving that space really definitely can help you not only, you know, decompress from a situation that arose at work, but really can give yourself space to think over certain, you know, situations and give you a clear mindset to reset the week and like reset the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really, really, really good point of, yeah, taking the time on the weekends to sort through it. Cause I know that I've done this too. There's kind of this trap of like just resting on the weekends or taking in the other direction of like being really productive on all your other stuff on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finding that balance and adding in whatever like sparks joy within you is really important.
Yeah.
It's crucial. So you're doing a great job, nannies. Like if you haven't been told that at work, this is one of the hardest times. I mean, I've seen people, I've been in this business for 10 years. I've seen people who have been in it for 30 or 40 years saying that this mm-hmm. is the hardest it's ever been as a nanny right now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the joyful parts have been taken away. Mm-hmm. Spaces limited in houses. You can't let kids be boisterous right now in the same way that you used to. So I just, if you are struggling, nanny, I see you. You are not alone. Reach out to me. Email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. I would love to chat and offer any help I can. It's really, really, really hard out there. So mm-hmm. give yourself grace and take care of yourself as well as you take care of your nanny kids because you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, wonderful. Morgan, where can listeners find out more about you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at the next bright dream. So instead next right, but right as in writing
yes.
and then dream.
Which it's will be down in the show notes. So,
yeah. And then
yeah.
I'm also fairly active on, you know, the nanny love and nannyhood and all that. And,
wonderful.
You know, often telling really funny stories about the kids.
Yes. Love it. Well, let's have one of those funny stories right now.
Okay. Okay. So when I was very, very part-time with the family before this, I had a 4-year-old boy and he was very, very imaginative and very funny. And the one night we're playing keep it up, you know, with the balloons and paper plates.
Uh-huh.
And you smack the balloon. And it was my first day back after, you know, they had gone to Disney. So we're playing this game and the balloon just fell. And I'm like, you know, I said, you know, oh, dang it, you know. And then he turns around to his balloon falls. And then he looks at me and he's like, oh, sit. And I'm just like, what did you just say, dude? Oh, sit. And I'm like, it started thinking, oh, that's not a very kind word.
Uh-huh.
And he just said it so innocently.
Right.
And then he's like, and I asked him where he heard it from. And he's like, daddy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, yeah, let's not say that word anymore because it's not kind. And It was just the most innocent thing. But it was so funny the way he said it.
Yes. I love when kids curse sometimes.
And it's like funny because he said it. You know, instead of saying the actual word, he said sit.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a minute to, you know, realize what he was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you know.
yep. I knew a kid once, not a nanny kid, but a kid once where the way that they learned how to say the word fork really sounded like another four-letter F word, and it was just, you know, like, can I have a fork for dinner or whatever, with dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just over and over. It was very, very funny. And then The Good Place came along and used that as a replacement word, and so ahead of his time, that kid was. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for taking time with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Me too. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I love providing Chronicles of Nania to you at no cost. So if you love this podcast, please consider donating by clicking the Support the Show link in the show notes. I also totally understand if a donation isn't the way you can show your support right now. Another excellent way to support the podcast is to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Those ratings help other nannies and caregivers around the world find Chronicles of Nania. Also, if you love the show, tell your friends. Word of mouth is so helpful to get the word out about the podcast. And truly, thank you for listening. It really means the world to me. The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Tyler. Artwork by Noni Blastodon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudios.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.